Just going to start by showing you some pictures of some faces you may recognize. Here they are. Anyone know who that is? Jessica Ennis? Yeah. Mo Farah? Chris Hoy. Thank you. Right, there we go. And when you see these faces, what do they make you think of? The Olympics, that's right. Do you believe it's 2 weeks? 2 weeks since the Olympics finished. And some ways it seems like an age away, because I was actually on holiday when the Olympics were on, and we came back from holiday exactly 2 weeks ago. We had to be back in time to watch the closing event. That was one of the conditions of travelling on the Sunday. But we were back in time for the closing event, but we'd watched, you know, bits and bobs. We didn't build our whole holiday around the Olympics, but we watched some of these athletes, a sample of whom we see on our screens here, and we watched the medal table, and we saw Team GB do the best that it's done in ages. We saw London looking absolutely fantastic. We heard the British crowds roaring and cheering the athletes on, and it made us all feel really great, didn't it? You've forgotten, obviously. You've completely forgotten. And starting next weekend, we'll be doing it almost all again with new stories of new individuals in the Paralympic Games and their great feats of achievement that we will see on our screens and in our papers and here on the radio. These magnificent people there. And one of the things that really spoke to me as I watched the Olympics was, wow, I looked at these individuals and I heard some of their stories, the time that they had given for that competition just 2 weeks ago, that they might win a medal. For 4 years, their focus and their training, their diet, their time, their everything was put into being at the peak for the Olympics in order that they could achieve their best, aiming for a gold. And we had a whole series here, didn't we, at the end of the summer term, going for gold, and thought about the challenges that brings us. But here were the real stories, here were the real people of athletes that were out there performing in the field and on the track and in the pool, etc., etc., doing amazing things. And goodness me, it was a challenge, wasn't it, watching them, thinking, ooh, they do so much, and physically I feel so unfit. And physically, I feel I'm not a great specimen like these are at all. And the real challenge to me was, wow, what an example they are of health and fitness as athletes. I could never hope to be an athlete like that at all. But examples. And as I thought about their example, I thought, well, what kind of example am I? And that was the question that popped in my mind. What kind of example am I as a person? As a Christian, living amongst people, many of whom who are not Christians, who don't know Jesus, who wouldn't come anywhere near a church. What kind of example am I to them? And it reminded me, as I thought about being an example of this passage here. Passage was first given to me, actually, as an individual when I started my first full-time post in Christian ministry in Hull, a long time ago. And I was a young man. I was age 20. And the opening meeting, senior circuit steward chose to read this passage because it was advice from Paul to a young man, a young pastor, and advice to a young minister that Timothy was going to be. And Timothy was left to be in Ephesus, a difficult church and a difficult place to be an example to the flock and in the area. And so I guess this passage is often read to young ministers going into new pastorates and new posts for that very reason. But it's not just for ministers and people that are doing full-time Christian work. It's a challenge to all of us as to how we can be an example. Being an example, or as I've abbreviated it here, being an EG. EG, of course, as we will see in a moment now, comes from the Latin, exempli gratia, which actually means deliberately for example. So we might, you know, say something, and then we'd go EG. Instead of writing for example, we'll put EG, for example. And I wonder, are you someone that will point to, well, a good Christian is just like this, for example. And we pick on someone, you know, and we give their name. Are you that person? What does it take to be a Christian example, being an EG? Well, this evening I'm going to take those letters, EG, and I'm going to take us through some of the things that Paul advised Timothy, that he might be an example as well, that he might be an EG, that may apply to us. Now, the first one Timothy, the first one Paul doesn't use, this is what I think, okay? This is me. I think, being a Christian, I like to think that being a Christian makes you an excellent gal or guy. Excuse my common language. Okay, it was so it fitted the initials, okay? Means that you're an excellent gal or guy. And what do I mean? Well, I mean, you're someone who's the best kind of person to be around. You're going to be a great friend. You're going to be a trustworthy person. You're going to be someone who, you know, I'm going to enjoy spending time with. You're going to be someone who really will, you know, listen to the best, hear the best, be really positive and helpful and encouraging and all those things. That's what I'd like to think a Christian is like. And I like to think that, you know, maybe there are other people that view us in that way too. You know, those who aren't Christians that think we're really good people to have around in our place of work, in the neighborhood, as a part of the family, or in that social circle in which you're a part, that you're an excellent gal or guy. I give you a 10 out of 10 for lots of things. Now, the only problem is, while I like to believe that, and while I like to think that of other Christians, and I think that of myself, I know that so often I let people down, and I know that maybe, you know, I say things I shouldn't say. I might belay, you know, I might not keep a confidence. I might, you know, because it's a good bit of gossip, and I'll just share it to someone else. This is telling you in confidence, but actually I've just broken a confidence that's been shared with me, and I'm not such an excellent guy all of a sudden. And we're all a bit like that, aren't we, really? That we'd like to get 10 out of 10, but we don't really deserve the gold star or the 10 out of 10 because we're not always that excellent gal or guy, because we're not perfect. But there are the pointers that Paul gives to Timothy that will help us in being that Christian who is an excellent gal or guy that people would feel great to call you a friend or a colleague or a neighbour or a relative. And so let's look at the first one. We read physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Training for godliness. In other words, we should be not just an excellent guy, we should exhibit godliness. Exhibit godliness. What do we mean by godliness? What do you think godliness is? Any ideas? Yeah, good, kind, gentle. I don't think anyone would argue with that. Why are they godly? Why does that make you godly if you're good, kind, and gentle? Because you're like God. Exactly. Exhibiting godliness is actually being like God. And other people can see the characteristics of God in us. And maybe before we knew Jesus and we started our walk with Jesus, we may have been ungodly people. We may have been very selfish and greedy and all the opposites of being good and kind and giving and generous people, just like God is. Exhibiting godliness means we're like God. Have a look at these pictures and see what you notice about them. Anything striking here? Anything striking about these at all, I wonder? We see them from time to time, don't we? How owners end up looking a bit like their pets or like their dogs. And I think some of those there are worrying examples. I mean, are some of those people going to the same grooming parlours as their dogs, or are the dogs going to the same hairdressers as their owners? I'm not sure which it is. But they do have an uncanny resemblance to each other. And maybe that says something about not so much the dog's relationship with the owner, but the owner's relationship to the dog. The fact that they begin to look alike and maybe share some of the characteristics. Not that the owner will go around with a waggy tail, but they might choose a dog that has the same characteristics as them. You know, a bouncy, excitable dog for a bouncy, excitable person. Or maybe a laid-back, leisurely dog for someone who likes to sit in and watch the telly at night. I don't know. Draw your own conclusions. But the characteristics and being the same and being like God in character will only come about if one, we try to get to know him, which means we need to spend time with him, which means we need to pray, to read his word, and to allow him into the whole of our lives in order that we can be godly people. In order that we can exhibit godliness, we have to be godly in our spiritual lives by spending time with him. It's a bit like what Gareth was sharing a few minutes ago about life school, learning with Jesus, spending time with him, that he can speak and change and mold and make us more like God, that we might exhibit godliness in our lives in order that we can be a great example, in order that we can be that excellent guy or gal. So we need to exhibit godliness. The next EG is exhort God. Exhort God. And I put a megaphone there. I'm not sure that God needs a megaphone. But we are to exhort God. One of the things about being godly people and godly characteristics and taking those out into our everyday lives is that we are to some other people the only physical presence of God that they will ever see. That's a challenge, isn't it? Not just are we being an example of a Christian, but actually we're taking God into places and to people's lives who've never met him, seen him, or know anything about him, or know what he's like. So when we're exhibiting those godly characteristics, we are actually telling others through our lives what God is like and what a Christian life is like and what life can be like if we follow Jesus. That's what we're exhibiting in exhibiting our godliness. We're exhorting God. But actually, Paul put it more strongly than this to Timothy. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. That's what Paul told Timothy to do as a minister. And we'll all accept, well, yes, they should really be on the job description of a minister, someone that's going to hold a pastoral position. These are the things that they should be doing, and these are the things that we very strongly believe as a church. Our services are centered on worship and the word, the reading of Scripture in public and the preaching of Scripture. And life school is one of those areas where we're trying to teach what God is showing us how to live to one another. In our home groups, we explore those things. And hopefully in our conversations together, we can be examples to one another, exhorting one another towards God as we read, learn, and share what God has taught us through his word. That all happens within the church. But if we're to be an example of what God is like within the wider world, then I'm not sending you out to all go and preach and teach to everyone who's not a Christian and doesn't know God. Because that really isn't what you're called to be. Unless God's given you that gift and that calling to go out as an evangelist or to go out and to preach and teach in that way, our lives will speak far louder than any words that you or I could share with others. And that's where the exhibiting godliness must come first and foremost. But don't shy away or be ashamed to talk about your faith, to share about your Christian life and habits when others question it with you. Or when there's opportunity that you feel God prompting you to say something about your relationship with God through Jesus. Because then we are exhorting God and we're showing others and telling others what he is like. So they're the things that we need to do. And there are lots of ways that we can do that. One of the ways that we're looking forward to as a church, as far as the city is concerned, is obviously a week tomorrow. Graham, taking the word of God out onto the streets of the city centre in an attractive, vibrant, colourful, lively way in the procession that will happen a week tomorrow as the names of Jesus will be paraded through the centre press. And that's exciting, isn't it? And that's an opportunity that we have because of the Guild Year. But I wonder, what else is God saying to us as individuals or as a church of how we can exhort him in the city and through our lives? How we can tell others or take opportunities of meeting others to share what God is like to us. We've had other opportunities this year as well through the Guild in serving our city in July, where you know we can practically demonstrate God's love and generosity by the time that was given and the skills that were given and used to exhort God through our lives. But what else is God challenging us to as a church and as individuals that we might exhort him? The next EG's there already. And Paul said it like this, didn't he, in his letter to Timothy. Here it comes. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. These were spiritual gifts that had been given to Timothy, that when they almost, if you like, ordained him as a minister of their church, and gifts of ministry and as a pastor were prayed to be upon him by the Spirit, that's what happened. Now, for all of us, we've all got different gifts, different natural gifts that we've been born with or nurtured through our education and our learning. Maybe gifts of music, gifts of hospitality, gifts of organization, gifts of communication, all these practical gifts that we can use in serving God, and God can use us in serving him. If we allow his Spirit to empower those gifts equally can be spiritual gifts. But the spiritual gifts, which were probably talked about here that Paul's referring to, were gifts that were wholly given by God for a specific purpose. And we've had sermons on those as well, haven't we? Gifts of healing, gifts of discernment, gifts of prophecy, and so on. These different spiritual gifts that rely totally on the Spirit. So as we're thinking about being an example, exhibiting godliness and exhorting God, what gifts are you exercising as part of that example in your life within the church and within your working life, within your life in social circles? What gifts has God given you naturally that you can give to him and allow him by his Spirit to empower and use that others might see God in you? What spiritual gifts has God given you? Or what gifts are you asking and seeking that he might give you that you might serve him in a more dynamic and closer, real way in a relationship because you're relying wholly on his Spirit to enable you to serve God? Another challenge for all of us as we think about these words of advice that Paul gave to Timothy, that young minister. Don't neglect your gift given you. And well, I guess this one really is the biggest ask of all of us, and the one that all of us struggle with the most. It's the best I could do with the letters EG, entire giving. Paul said to Timothy, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Give yourself wholly. How much of yourself are you giving to God? How much of yourself are you giving to serve him, to get to know him, to spend time with him? How much of your life is still hanging on to because, well, you'd rather stay in control of that part of your life, or you're just too hurt or embarrassed to actually open that area of life and allow God into it? We're supposed to give ourselves entirely and completely to God. Look at this picture here. Whatever you do, always give 100% unless you're donating blood. And I think in our relationship with God, then that's really what the standard is. But how much of us do we really give? I wonder if you were to measure it, what would it look like on a gauge? Here comes the gauge. A bit like a fuel gauge, isn't it? But it goes from nothing of your life to all of your life. Where are you on there? Where is that red needle pointing from nothing to all? That's the biggest challenge that I found as I was inspired by those athletes whose aim for this Olympics was to inspire a generation, was as a Christian, is my life an example? Am I inspiring today's generation? And it's a big ask. It's a big challenge to us as individuals and as a church, because I think that motto is fantastic. Not just for the Olympics and people taking on sports and feeling that actually they should be a bit leaner and fitter like I did at first, but actually the challenge to us as individuals and as a church. What are we doing to inspire a generation that actually there's a better way to live your life? And the best way is the way that God has already shown us in Jesus. And it's only through knowing Jesus and giving our all to Jesus that we can experience that life that God has promised us. And how good an example are we as individuals of that life? How good an example are we of that vibrant life that God wants us to share as a church, as we think about being an EG? Are you an excellent gal or guy to be around? How much do you exhibit godliness in your life? Does your life exhort God and tell something of his story and the good news of Jesus? Are you happy to share that? Do you exercise the natural gifts you've been born with and the spiritual gifts that you desire and God empowers through his Holy Spirit through you? Have you given yourself entirely to him? Paul said to Timothy, set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. What kind of an example are we? Let us pray. Father God, as we sit here tonight, we sit here feeling like failures sometimes, feeling weak and insignificant and not worthy of anything that you might have offer us. And while we recognize that we aren't worthy of all that you have done for us, we thank you, for through Jesus you not only have set us an example, but you have given us a way to lead a life in a relationship with you, that you might transform us and make us the people that you always created us to be, that we might live in that relationship closely with you, reflecting your glory, your love, your generosity and your kindness to those around us with whom we live and work. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to hear you, to respond to you, to be strengthened and encouraged by you. We thank you for the gifts that you have given us that allow us to serve you in your kingdom, that allow us to be you to others through using our hands, our feet, our hearts and our voices as we give them to you. Father God, you gave nothing less than your all in Jesus on the cross for us. And so as we continue to think and pray and respond to you in worship, we pray that you will help us to give our all to you, that as we take this time and give of ourselves, you might turn us into good examples of the life that you can give, that others might see you in us and be drawn to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.